You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
We have got Yuen Shah in the studio this morning. Kia ora, how are you?
I'm very good.
Very well. You are the curator of the World Press Photography Exhibition, which is coming to Auckland, opening on Saturday.
Yes.
This is very exciting. It comes quite often over here, and it's always amazing to see the sort of, I guess, depth and diversity of the stories that are represented by the photographs in the exhibition. What can you tell us about it? What is the exhibition, basically?
So, World Press Photo connects the world to the stories that matter, and each year we organize a contest for professional photographers to send in their best work. And out of that, we invite an independent jury who selects the photos, and then we curate an exhibition that travels around the world. So Auckland is actually one out of more than 100 cities in the world that we travel to each year.
So it's an incredible kind of, I guess, connector of all these different ideas, these different stories and things as well. The winner this year is a really remarkable photo that I'm sure actually a lot of people will be really familiar with. That's something I find really interesting about the World Press Photo Exhibition, is that a lot of these images people have seen in the press, in the news, things like that. The winner this year was Crying Girl on the Border by photographer John Moore. What can you tell us about this photo?
This photo is definitely a photo that everybody has seen before. It's you see this little toddler who's wearing a very colorful red vest, and she's 4 years old, and she was being put down by her mother as she was being searched by the border police. And that moment was so, gripping for the little child that she was so distressed that she started crying out. And the photographer at that moment was actually present. And him being a father himself, found that so emotional that he took these photos. And when it was published, it caused a big outcry in the US and in the rest of the world because of the governmental policies at that time,
and actually
separating families.
It was part of sort of, I guess, that outcry was part of what changed that policy as well.
Yes.
It's a really amazing thing, the power that these photos can have, basically, to shape and change narratives. What are some of the other photographs that are in the photography exhibition?
So we have 8 different categories. Some of them are news, but we also have sports and nature and environment.
But some of the environment photos at the moment are pretty... pretty intense.
Yes. So, for example, one of the photos is you see two horses in a red, fiery background, and it is about the California wildfires of last year, which was actually one of the worst wildfires that they've ever had. And it's a very powerful, silent picture as well. You just see two horses standing on the beach. But that actually shows the state of the world that we're living in and how important it is to do something about the environment and to look at our actions, actually.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that is something I always find quite striking whenever I've visited this in the past, is that the kinds of stories are... a lot of them can be quite emotionally wrenching, and I guess that's what sometimes makes a really good photo, is something that kind of gets you on an emotional level. You can't necessarily explain why, but it does sort of tap into something. Is there any particular favourite of yours that you have? Anything that you sort of go in there and you're like, that's the photo I'm always gravitating towards?
Well,
you're on the spot there.
It's
sorry.
A little bit maybe a cliche, but one of the stories that I really enjoy this year is taken by Jasper Doost. It's about Bob the flamingo. it's maybe a little bit cliche, but the photographer actually has a cousin who lives in the Caribbean, and she's a veterinarian, and she rescued this flamingo and named him Bob. And Bob is actually a very tame flamingo. He cannot go back to the wild,
right?
But he's become an ambassador, he visits schools and educate children on how to protect the wildlife. And I think even though he doesn't represent all the other flamingos, I think it actually shows how important it is for us as human beings to live in a healthy relationship with animals.
I like that. He doesn't represent all flamingos. He's not a spokesperson for all the flamingos out there. That's a lovely story as well. And some of the ways that these photos get selected, how does that process happen? So people can submit their photographs, but then how do they choose what makes a good photograph, I guess?
Yes. So we received actually almost 80,000 images this year.
Wow, that's
it's a huge task. Yeah. So we always invite an independent jury, and they're made out of made up of experts. So these are photographers themselves, editors of magazines, and we lock them up in Amsterdam in a room, a dark room, and they look at these photos for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And
wow.
out of that, they select the winners.
Wow, that's a really long process then.
Yes.
And so you get pictures from all over the world.
Then. Yes. Yeah. Yes, we do. Yeah. Yeah.
Are you ever sort of surprised by the kinds of photographs that come out of certain areas? Are you sort of seeing trends from photographers from, I guess, like the UK compared to somewhere in, you know, Africa or something like that? Is there a different kind of, I guess, thread that draws those photographers together, or is it really diverse in the different ways that people, I guess, capture images?
I think it is pretty diverse. I think one of the things that we as an organization have been working on is to get images out of areas that we normally get very low entries from. So, for example, the African continent, actually Oceania, so where New Zealand is part of, we get very low entries. So in order to enhance that diversity, we try to do workshops in the locality, and also pick out a jury that is diverse themselves, so that they can recognize these stories and pick them out. Because I do believe that when you have, for example, a journalist that is from the area, so let's say you are from South Africa, then you are able to probably capture a story in a much more detailed way than when you're a Western photographer, for example.
And I guess also for the jury as well, you might get a layer of that too. If you are from a certain culture or a certain place and you recognize those stories, you might gravitate towards those more naturally. So having a diverse lineup on the jury as well is really important, I would imagine.
Yes, most definitely. One of the winning pictures actually this year was a series taken by Mohamed Badra. He's a Syrian photographer, and he captured the gas attack on civilians. And his photos actually show civilians in a hospital area. And when the jury actually look at the photos, they don't know who took the picture, but they know the circumstances there. And for a Western photographer to have that access is actually very unlikely. Mm-hmm. So then them knowing that it's a local photographer actually also helps.
Yeah, totally. Well, this is an amazing collection of images from all over the world. People can go and see it at Smith & Coe's on Level 6, which is on Queen Street, and it's open from Saturday the 29th of June, and it runs for a month. Is there anything you'd recommend when people go in that they should sort of take in when they're thinking about it, or would you just like people to go in with an open mind and just sort of explore the different stories there?
I think going in with an open mind is always very good. Another thing that I would recommend when people come is to pretend that they are the photographer themselves, and then ask the questions. You know, what are they seeing? What is happening inside of the image, but maybe what is happening outside of the image that you don't see? Obviously, the pictures, they come with a caption, but I always recommend people to do their own research next to it, because the more informed we are, the better decisions that we can make.
Well, thank you so much for your time this morning. You and Shah, thank you for popping into the BFM studios. I'm sure there'll be a lot of people really interested to go and check that one out.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.